Welcome to the Dynasty Daily Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan McNamara. It's supposed to be a Tuesday Twitter thread day, or a Tuesday Twitter reaction day, but I want to do something a little bit different. So I found this article, and it was percolating around. I dig the NBA draft, and not even so much for like the actual draft, but just all the conversations about team building that go on around it. Like, it's great. Like, it's a lot of different opinions, a lot of different ideas to think about. And I think it's a great time for Dynasty. So it just occurred, and there was a good article from the Phoenix, about the Phoenix Suns. It's from Kevin Artemis at ESPN. I'll throw the link in the thing. I think it's just for insiders. I am an ESPN insider, so for stuff just like this. And so it's there for you if you want it, but I'll incorporate some of the stuff. There's some really good stuff in here, and it mirrors, it might have some familiarity. So there is, so James Jones is like one of the main figures. He's the GM of the Phoenix Suns, a player for a long time. Really good three-point shooter as well. And it sort of delves into some of that. But I think the conversation about the draft is one of the things that in it is really interesting vis-a-vis the attention and everything spent. So James Jones says in here, quote, "The draft is one of many channels where we can acquire talent. It's the one we glorify. It's the one that comes with the excitement, and it comes with an advantage. The ability to get productive players on low salaries and under contractual control for multiple years. But it's just one vehicle for acquisition. You can devote so many resources to it, and there's a different value proposition here." And then the article goes on. "The different value proposition, less time, expense, brain power, and grunt work, might pay dividends by simplifying the cumbersome task of appraising hundreds of amateur and international basketball players. But it could also prove to be a quizzical, reductive scheme that leaves the Suns woefully behind the organizations that scour the ends of the earth to mine for draft talent." So what was really interesting in here is I took two different takeaways from this generally, right? I took two different takeaways really for why, two big takeaways, I guess, for why they did this. Number one, when you look at what they were trying to accomplish, it's different than a lot of other teams, right? They go through a whole thing about Cam Johnson, who was a 23-year-old rookie when he came out, and they spent a lottery pick, top 11 pick. I think it was the 11th pick that they actually did in a trade down. They traded from 6 to 11, picked up Dario Saric, and then took Cam Johnson, and everyone penned the pick. But he was actually able to contribute in some of their runs here of recent note into deep into the playoffs. And a lot of what they were trying to accomplish was, we need a player that can play, right? We need a mature player that can play. They weren't trying to swing for the fence in terms of taking some high upside franchise changing guy. They were trying to take someone that could contribute to them, right? So a little bit different there in terms of what they were actually trying to accomplish than what a lot of the other players, a lot of their teams in that range are trying to accomplish, which is swing for superstars. So I think that was notable there in terms of how they look at it a little bit differently and what they're trying to accomplish. The other thing that I think is really good in this is when you look at, and I have felt this, and this is actually maybe the best indication to me that what we say and what we do in terms of identifying that the market isn't particularly good at this, to get some real world corroboration on our doubt about the market's ability to actually improve, is there's a chart in here. It's called the rank correlation between picks and win shares, and it is a graph, and it is a graph dating back to the 1970s all the way up to, call it like 2018, something like that. 2017. And it's just looking at, and it's actually from Michael Lopez, who coincidentally, is now part of the NBA, the NFL analytics department, right? The NFL's, the NFL's itself's office, and does a lot of work with statistics and the like there. And what it shows is really there's an uptick in the 70s into like the 80s in the correlation between picks and win shares. And win shares is kind of like your warp. If you were to think about win shares in basketball, it's not exactly the same. It's a little bit more complicated than that, but just think of it as warp. So guys that go early should have high warps. Guys that go late should have low warps, that sort of thing. And so there's an uptick from the late 60s into the 70s into the early 80s between picks and win shares, right? Which you would expect as a market matures, it should get more efficient. However, as it gets into the 80s, it really flattens out from like the mid 80s into the 2010s, right? There's no difference. It is there's a little bit of uptick, but it's actually, if you're actually looking at the shape of it, it actually goes down, right? So, but it's essentially a flat line for the past, in my lifetime. Okay, in the past 35 years, it is a flat line. And if anything, it goes down. And so going down indicates that there's actually less correlation between pick and win shares. So what do we do with that? What do we say when the market spends all this time, it spends all this energy, and we hear these stories? We hear these stories of NFL front offices, of all these people doing all, you know, we work 16 hours a day, 6 days a week, and then we work 12 hours on a Sunday, right? Like, and you're not adding any value. You're literally not adding any value. And so why is that, right? Is it just that, is it the systems are broken, right? I think that there's an incentive to innovate there. But there's just so much that's really difficult to sort of project to the next level. And as a result, like, it might just be that, you know, it's something in the efficiency, like of, you know, between 50 and 60%, maybe just 30 or 40% of it isn't solvable. Like, maybe it's just not solvable. Maybe that's what this data would suggest to us. We see that a ton in Dynasty. We see that a ton, right? The random order of top 10 quarterbacks in terms of their production. We see the randomness in terms of the first round wide receivers, for example. Those things are very, you know, and there's some data to suggest, I think it's probably random, there's some data to suggest that the later in the round someone's picked is actually better for them, right? I think it's probably random, but I've seen that data too. And so you start looking at these things and you just start saying, like, all right, if we spend all this time and energy and all of this time between January and May, and we're diving into rookies and we're doing, that's all we're doing, we're missing such a big part of what we can do, which is zig while everyone zags. And that's the thing I like about this, with this, it really is a heterodox style, right? It's a, you're on your own. It's different. And I'm a huge fan of that sort of approach. And a lot of things that we think, and we've sort of seen in our data with AOD stuff, it shows up in different themes when you look at these other teams that have different styles. And to really see it in full effect, I think is reaffirming. So they basically go on to say that they ignore the draft. And there's some fun stuff. Not, I wouldn't say ignore it per se. I think it's a little bit hard to say that, like, they ignore it, but a lot of the stuff that they're looking for, you can't judge in college, which I think is interesting. And so there's some really good quotes in here. I would encourage you to read it. I think one of my favorite quotes, in here is one of the front office guys says he's a scout. He says he cranked out 200, 300 reports on NBA prospects after arriving for his first season in 2019. He was eager to make an impression, made a sense to mimic his veterans in the business, you know, looking around and just doing what other people were doing. James Jones, the GM, approached him and said he wouldn't be reading any of his scouting reports. And it's just totally different that we're going to look at this thing differently. So I thought that was amazing. And considering all the time and energy we spend doing other stuff, right, that, you know, a lot of it's wasted time, wasted energy, and stuff that we can't control. So why worry about trying to improve, you know, a 60% hit rate to a 63% hit rate if the cost of that is actually spending time on some major players and making bigger moves, right? That's the trade-off for us, right? That's the thing, right? This is funny because to me, I was like, if I'm starting mid-March, my rookie coverage, like it's kind of too late if I'm trying to accomplish like super deep and thorough findings. But if I'm really just trying to cover the guys that matter, right, and not get into some beauty contest, right, of competing to the, you know, to the last end of the world while we're actually making, you know, roster construction gains and stuff in other places that can actually move the needle versus fourth round rookies, like, you're damn right we're going to spend our time there, right? And this is sort of some reaffirmation, so it makes me feel good on that front as well. A couple other quotes here that I do think are whether they strike home or whether they're stuff that I think we can gain from. Here's a quote from that same he's Zach Amundsen. He's a senior analyst of personnel and team evaluation. This is quote, "Our draft board would be a mockery to other teams. By the time we're done, we only have 5 to 7 guys on our draft board." I have more than 5 or 7 guys, but by the time it's all said and done, it's basically a 5-step process, right? 5 to 7 steps, right? That's very similar in terms of how we sort of go through the process of actually selecting guys. It's very, very similar to that, right? And I think it's a really interesting way to really pare down and think about it. So that's one. And then the last one, I found this interesting, and I'd be interesting to delve a little bit more into this. The quote says, "We're not allowed to talk about potential." And this is from Ryan Raich, the Suns vice president of basketball operations and evaluation. "We say capacity instead of potential, because capacity forces you to recognize what the player can actually do and what he is capable of doing tomorrow. So whereas potential, we're sort of shooting for, you know, some a little bit pie in the sky type of thing. I think capacity might anchor us a little bit better. And that's a lesson I take from this, and that's a lesson I'm actually going to think about more and more. What's the player have the capacity to do for us right now? Right? We know we can talk about potential and all this other stuff. It's funny because I think about this in the context of I was on a podcast one time, and the people were perfectly pleasant, but they wanted me to come on and do like a third and fourth round rookie mock draft. And I'm telling you, you couldn't find a worse person. Like, you couldn't have picked a worse person. You know, this was like, you know, it's like picking Hannibal Lecter to be like a dining consultant, right? Like, I just couldn't be any worse person suited for this particular task than me to pick these rookies in the fourth round of a rookie draft, because I'm going to say the exact same thing about all of them. So, you know, I'm just like, all right, fine. And so they're all talking about the potential, you know, this guy could potentially, and I should really go back and find it, because it's kind of like, it goes on and on about the potential, great value, potential. And I'm like, how does these guys actually help you, right? How do they are chewing up roster spots, they're chewing up assets, they're chewing up time and energy, and how do they help you? And that's something I think, like, really in the capacity perspective, right? And you know, we talk about roster cloggers, right? You talk about roster cloggers, and that's really your goal, is to avoid a roster clogger. And in a lot of your picks, it's just you don't want that going on, right? So what do these guys have the capacity to do? Well, in the hierarchy of assets, right, sort of incorporating the stuff together, in the hierarchy of assets, you've got guys that are, you know, you've got basically your partial contributors, right? You think about them, and you're really thinking about them in the lens of either they're a backup, they're a value play, which is, that's dubious, right? Or they're some sort of streamer. Other than that, if they don't do something higher up the board than that in terms of the hierarchy of assets, or they don't do one of those three things, they don't have the capacity to help you. And I think that that's a really a good framing of player value and player purpose on our dynasty team, that not potential but capacity. And that's a new sort of phrase that we'll be thinking about and trying to incorporate here a little bit more as we go along. So and then the last thing really is like the win now, like the mentality. And this quote is I think terrific. You're either trying to win or you're not trying to win. If you're not trying to win, you can say what you want, but you're trying to lose. You can say, well, let's go slow and win later, but there are too many things between now and later. I'm trying to win now and win later. Players know every day in the league brings them one day closer to the end of their careers, and I can't waste those days. And as a result, he's thinking about, you know, players as contributing players, not prospects. And I think that those things are really the things that we can take from this. This is well aligned to what we're trying to accomplish, which is winning. Right? When people ask me, what do you think about my rebuild? Why are you doing it? Right? That's the first thing I ask them, right? Why are you rebuilding? I have all this wide receiver depth and I'm young at tight end. What do you think about my rebuild? I think you're doing it wrong, right? I reject the premise. And I think it's interesting when you look at some of these. This mirrors some of what we talk about in ways that I think is reaffirming, because of they're the same premises or the same foundational pieces in terms of a lot of the randomness and a lot of the uncertainty and a lot of the stuff that just hasn't been solved or gotten more efficient and just seems like you're kind of spinning your wheels in mud doing, and just saying we're not going to do them. Do they have draft misses? Yes. And I think it's interesting, they talk about a couple of draft misses. Jalen Smith was a pretty bad draft miss recently. They missed on him. And he's like, hey, listen, we're just not going to find the next Giannis. Like, that's just not how we're going to build our team. And it's interesting, like, when you're not worried about that, right? And some of it's financial. Like, their GM is, like, notoriously, or their owner is notoriously cheap. But when you're not worried about that, right, you can sort of have some of that, you know, some of that regret not factor in, right? That's, he's like, all right, well, I'm not going to regret this because it's just really not something we're going to try and strive for. And I think that's an interesting balance. So I'll leave you the link in the show notes. I think it's helpful, right? And I think that some of the things I talked about in here, it's worth a read if you're a subscriber. I think it's totally worth a read, and I hope that I could sort of cliff note it for you if you don't go over there and get it. But some things that we'll be thinking about more and more here going forward. So that'll do it for this edition, this Tuesday. It's not a Twitter observation Tuesday, but it's an article Tuesday. So in the same spirit, that'll do it. And until next time, continue embracing the variance. We'll talk again very soon.